Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Who is the bridegroom? Jesus is the bridegroom. Amen? "Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered in saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'As surely as I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither for the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" So this parable that Jesus is talking about is talking about, then shall the kingdom, is talking about the second coming of the Lord. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 44, it says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You know, it's amazing how many words, how many things are going around. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. It's going to be, what, this year, that, I mean, there's all kinds of words. But an hour you don't expect. We got to be ready all the time. Amen? So this parable is talking about the coming of Christ. The kingdom of God is an encounter with the bridegroom. This parable is about losing your anointing, about losing opportunity in the grace of God. All the virgins, it's amazing to me, went out to meet the bridegroom. They all took the anointed ministry. That's what the lamp is a ministry. It's a sign of ministry. They all took their anointed ministry. You know, when you think about it, this parable is this exciting, and then it's scary. It's scary because we need to not neglect and become foolish in God's sight, not being watchful and lose the anointing. It talks about the oil in the lamps. The oil in our lives is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In verse 3, the lamp is ministry. Oil is intimacy with God. Their secret life, the intimacy with God is your secret life with Him. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit touching our hearts, touching the inner man. We talk about it all the time. The inner, the body, soul, and spirit. The spirit, the inner man, the real you, the real us. Our private part of life. They took their lamp, their ministry, but they had no regard. The foolish had no regard for the oil, their personal life in God. They did not focus on Him. They did not pay attention to their life in God. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit touching the inner man. The oil is in the private parts of the lamp. You know, when you see a lantern, you see a lamp, the oil is down there inside. Inside. The oil is the anointing of the Spirit on our hearts. It speaks of intimacy. That's what the oil speaks of, the Holy Spirit, the intimacy on the heart. You know, there is an anointing on the platform, and there's anointing on the heart to be a lover of God. And I want to share with you, it's better hundredfold to be a lover of God than to be anointed on the platform. We're supposed to have both. We can have both. But if we're preoccupied, and I've seen so many times ministers, men and women of God, that were so preoccupied with the platform anointing that they lost the personal secret anointing. And when that happens, eventually the platform anointing goes out. And in verse 4 it says, the wise took oil with their vessels. They took oil and their lamps and their ministry. We want the oil first, the ministry, the lamps second. Our life in God's intimacy, the secret place first, then our intimacy. The people, the ones that take their ministry first and their life and God second, are fools. You know what a fool in God is? You know, you say, oh, that's a fool. It's not somebody that's mixed up in their head or anything else. It's they don't have Jesus. They're not seeking Him and seeking Him first. In the biblical sense, that's what a fool is, somebody that doesn't trust and seek the Lord. The ones that take life in God first, their ministry second, they're the wise ones. Everything else will fall in line when you get that first. You have your intimacy with God first, and everything else falls in line. We need to take our oil, our life in Christ first, and then whatever we're doing. Then whatever we're doing. Whatever we do second, and you'll see the wise ones in the end time. The intimacy. That's the reason why we talk so much about a relationship. A relationship with Him. Intimacy with Him. Having oil. Personal anointing is far the most effective way of life. And will bring light to the dark world. In verse 5 it says they all slept. The wise and the foolish did this. This is a sign or talking about really tending. It's like tending to the rigors of natural life. Both the wise and the foolish did this. These things, you pay bills, you pay taxes, you tend to your cars, you have a job. Just all the natural things in life. The everyday affairs of life. That's what this, they all slept, is really reflecting. You know, we don't have to, or we're not supposed to escape the natural realm to have intimacy, to get oil. You know, sometimes I've had teaching people saying, oh, you got to be a part, you got to go out in the desert and you got to be a hermit and you got to do this to have intimacy with the Lord. No, you just got to have time with Him. You just got to have time with Him. Our problem isn't that we have to attend to natural things in life. The real problem is not in the area that you have to do. The real problem is in the area you choose to do. that you think you have to do. There are certain things we have to do, but there are a large percentage of things we don't have to do. It's just the way we live. We can downsize in many areas of life and free up large amounts of time so as to spend with the Lord. You know, I've said many times, you know, when you get so busy that you don't spend time in prayer with the Lord, He'll wake you up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Get up and pray. Get up and worship. Get up and magnify me. You know, I mean, we all do that. We all get so busy sometimes we don't have time to spend in intimacy with Him. Amen? And it's not about saying, okay, I got to be in from 8 to 9 or 8 to 10. I got to. No, it's not that. It's in our hearts when we have time with Him. Many times people work 70 hours a week just to keep up with the Joneses. You know any people like that? To have things they really do not have to have. You know, I've come to realize there's a lot of things that we want or think we have to have that you really don't need. Amen? Sometimes we have to work double hours just to keep all the stuff, to keep it all in shape, to keep everything going. The stuff can be our possessions. Our profile have to go here and to go there to be seen. I mean, I know people that run themselves ragged going here and going there just so people will see them. They'll be out in front of the people. The stuff can be our possessions, our profile. The need to do ministry. A large part of ministry that believers get into is not what God told them to do. Sure, there will be a certain amount of success when you preach the word, when you talk the word, because the word has an anointing on it. There's anointing on the word, but that doesn't mean it's what God told you to do. We do much to manage our possessions and profile. Prophet, that God will not even, it's not God's will. So many times we do things that are not His will. I've asked the Lord many times. I have to do it kind of regularly. And sometimes my wife tells me regularly. To show me what He did not call me to do. This is that the things that are not necessary or He didn't mandate me to do. And when I ask God to show me, I ask Him to be easy with me. Just share with me, God, and let me correct it myself. Not you correct it. To be in the place where I'm able to have time to have intimacy with Him. In verse 6, at midnight, a cry was heard. A cry in the land said there was a threefold message there. Behold the bridegroom. The Messiah is the bridegroom. He's coming. He's coming in manifest power. And when He comes in power, everything changes. Wow, what a day that will be. Amen? I mean, what a day that will be when He comes in manifest power and everything changes. I can just, I don't know about y'all, but I can anticipate and wait that happening. You know, a lot of ministries will be increased. And a lot will be out of business. When He comes, nothing's going to stay the same. It says, get out of bed. Go out to meet Him. Do what you need to do to encounter Him. This is a call to intimacy. Now is the time to be intimate with the Lord. In verse 7 it says, all arose and trimmed their lamps. We don't have oil lamps like they used to have. We got some at the ranch. But when it's you're going to sleep, you turn it way down so it doesn't burn too much oil. But then when you need it, you trim it so it shows a lot of light. In verse 8, the foolish ask the wise. The foolish virgins ask the wise to give them some of their oil. Their personal life in God is what they're talking about here. What Jesus is talking about. The anointing that comes with intimacy. Give us some of your reality, of your intimacy with God. Because we don't have it. We lost it. We didn't bring extra oil. We didn't bring intimacy with us. And our ministries are going out of business. In verse 9, what did the wise virgins say? They said, no, that they weren't going to give them any of their oil because you cannot give someone your personal intimacy with the Lord. Did you realize that? You cannot give someone else your personal intimacy with him. They have to get it themselves. You can't transfer your personal encounter with God to another. You can share with them. You can teach them. You can share with them how to come into the presence of God. But you can't do it. No one can lay hands on you and give you their secret life in God. I know some preachers that have tried. They've said that they could do it, but it didn't work. It didn't work. It comes by one-on-one with the bridegroom himself. It comes, that secret, that anointing on your life, that intimacy with him comes on one-on-one relationship with him. Amen? The wise told them to go and buy oil. Go inquire yourself from God. Do it yourself. No one else can do it for you. Your pastor, your friends, your husband, your wife, your parents, your children. No one else can do it for you. They can't impart intimacy with God into your life. In verse 10, the bridegroom came, and the wise went in with him, and the door was shut. The door of opportunity was shut. We need oil so we don't miss the divine opportunity. In verse 11, the foolish came, cried, open the door. And then the answer came from within. The bridegroom said, I don't know you because you don't have an intimate relationship with me. And I don't know you. You know, the message of the parable in verse 13 is watch. We don't have to know the hour that the Lord will return. We don't have that. We don't know the hour. And there's so many people say Jesus is going to come back here and he's going to come back at this time. He's going to come back at that time and say all those things. What's it say in the word? No one knows. Only the Father knows. We need to live a life of watchfulness. Live a life of watchfulness. Develop intimacy with God. To develop our heart in the place of encounter. We need to live before God in a way where our heart is alert. Where our heart is responsive. It is encountering Jesus, the bridegroom. We need to watch, to be watching over our heart, that we're going to be watching for the encounter, so we can encounter him when he comes. Verse 6, it said, go out and meet him. The cry of this parable is to go meet him as the bridegroom. To go meet him as the bridegroom. And those that were ready, the wise, they went in with him. Here's my question to us today. Are we going to be living in an intimacy with him, and we're going to be ready when he comes? The idea of watchfulness is watching over our hearts that it does not become ensnared by the things that take us away from encountering God. The cares of life can take you away from encountering God. You can get so busy doing so many good things. I mean, it doesn't have to be just foolish things and just busyness. It can be doing good things, and they take us away from having that time of intimacy with him. It's so easy. It's so easy to get off the path, little by little, month by month. It takes careful attention. It takes watching. Paying attention that our hearts are responsive on an ongoing way to the bridegroom, to intimacy. Watching means that we are diligent, attentiveness, that we are encountering him every day. Encountering him today. You know, watchfulness takes energy. It takes work. It takes time. It takes care. It's ever before me to not lose my intimacy with him. It's so easy to lose our intimacy with him. Every now and then, you know, praise God that he knocks us on the head sometimes, or gets a big thong, brings us back to attention. We get so busy sometimes, and we're talking, you know, but we get to losing our intimacy with him, our love. We got to be careful. We don't allow the demands of life, the demands of ministry, just the demands of ourselves. We don't let that take our time away from intimacy. That can be ministry. It can be business deals, helps. You know, we can get so busy helping people that we don't have time. We don't have time with Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we can get so busy playing. You know how? You know, there's a lot of people that just are busy playing, having fun on weekends, but are quit meddling. You know, it's not necessarily evil or bad things. It's just things that take us away from the Lord. Many times we're giving time to things that are not ministering life to people. We many times do things so we will be liked. So that we can have a good esteem about us. Keeping our reputation good. Sometimes we get to the place that we spend more time in ministry, in family business, in business, whatever, so we look life that we're all that people want us to be. You know, you can get so busy. People can just expect so much out of you. That you're so busy doing what you think they want you to do. And they put things on you. We can call it care. We can call it responsibility. We can even call it compassion. Sometimes some of these things are what God tells us to do, and sometimes it's just us wanting to do it, being busy. Many times we do things to make ourselves look good or feel good. Sometimes it's just keeping people happy with us. I mean, it's easy to get caught up into just doing things so people will be happy with you. So we feel good about them feeling good about us. Trying to be popular. Burning ourselves out, trying to make everyone happy with us. And so often it's not ministering the life of God to them. We have to be watchful about staying right with God, because we can get off track of being intimate with the Lord. Being attentive about the Lord. Don't be caught up in pleasing others or self, and let the Holy Spirit run dry in our souls. So many times we do what is making the most noise and not ministering to what is important to God. We'll have much more anointing on our lives, for our family, for our friends, for our businesses, for our church, for our city, for our wives, for our husbands, with the anointing, the oil in our lives. With the anointing on our spirit, we can do so much for other people. The enemy works hard at keeping us from watching. He works hard at keeping us from watching, from being intimate with the Lord. I mean, it's so easy to get so busy, to so do things that we lose our intimacy. Amen? We need the anointing on us to bring people to God. It's the anointing that ministers to people. It's the anointing, the Holy Spirit in our lives, to let people see Jesus in us. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the presence of God to people. We need to be watchful 24 hours a day, not just once a week. It's not about coming to church on Sunday morning and getting intimate with God for an hour and a half. No, it's 24/7, amen? It's all the time. In these last days, how many know we're in the last days? As Paul said, we were in the last days when he was writing the New Testament. But we're in the last days. It's about the born-again believers with anointing, with oil that's going to be the light in the dark world. I mean, there's coming to be a time when the world is going to be looking for someone with light. Someone with anointing upon them. Someone with life in them to share and to bring that to them. And I hope, my prayer is that we will all be that kind of people. Amen? Do you want to be that kind of people that brings life, that brings light to the dark world? that brings the fire of God into the cold, depressed, demon-infested world. But for us to be a people of light, we're going to have to be an anointed people. And having a people that are intimate with their God. If we're going to have authority over darkness, it's about having intimacy with Him, being anointed by Him. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. And in my prayer, we're going to pray and we're just going to ask God. Just ask the Lord to show us individually, to show us those areas that we have allowed our intimacy with Him to slip. I don't want any of us to be like the foolish virgins. Amen? I want to be like the wise virgin that took their lamp and they took oil. They took an extra amount of Holy Spirit oil with them. Father, we thank You and we magnify You and we just glorify You. Lord, we just ask that You keep us in that place, God, that place of intimacy in the cleft of the rock, in Your presence. In Your presence is where I feel strong. It's about Your presence, Lord. Lord, show us, show each one of us if there's an area that we are not being intimate with You. Lord, if there's a time that we're not intimate with You, show us, Lord. Correct us so that we can turn around. We can have that intimate times with You and get filled up with the Holy Spirit. Filled up with the anointing. Lord, we thank You and we magnify You. Lord, we just ask that You just continue to minister to each one of us. Show us, Lord. It's all about You. It's all about You. And Lord, we just ask You, let Your glory fall. Let Your glory fall on each one here this morning, Lord. Let Your glory fall. Let Your fire fall. It will be set ablaze for You. And we thank You and we magnify You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You love each one of us and that You're wrapping Your arms around us and You're caring for us. And we thank You for that and we magnify You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You don't have a song to sing like Wanda does? Wanda was always singing a song, so. I have me too. Best I don't do.
I'm no longer a slave.
No longer what?
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Okay, amen.
I am a child of God.
Amen.